Who are you? Are you your body? You know, the body is physical, something we can see, we can touch, obviously. All living creatures fall into that category. Our bodies are mortal. They are alive, but then eventually they're going to die. Our bodies will no longer be here. So are we, and I ask you the question, who are you your body? Or are you your soul? I believe that that's kind of the core of who we are. That's kind of your personality. Your soul is made up of your will, your desires, right? You know what your will is. Your something you want to do, so you have choice in life. It also has to do with your intellect, your ability to learn. It also has the opportunity for some emotion. You can feel things. What's interesting is as the body is mortal, it's going to die, our soul is not. Our soul is immortal. It will continue on. So if you think about this, we have our body, we have our soul, but we also have something else inside of us. It's called the spirit. The Bible talks many times about the body, soul, and spirit. So what is the spirit? I had to do some research on this, and every human being has a spirit. Every one of us has a spirit. The thing is that as I read through Scripture, all of our spirits actually start out dead. It's the opposite of our bodies. Our bodies start out alive, and we eventually die. The spirit within us starts out dead that needs to become alive. This place of our spirit is the place where we are able to connect our hearts, our understanding, our will, our bodies to God Himself. So that's the premise. That's where we're starting out today. Is it's important for us to think about these things. So first of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about our bodies. I don't think we need to make a strong case to prove to you or you have to me that we have a body, right? That's no question, no mystery there. You are here and you have a body. But does your body make you completely who you are? I hope that what I've said was enough to make you say, yeah, I think I'm more than just my body. The thing is that in our culture today, we want to focus very deeply on what our body is. And the more I think we focus on just the body being everything about us, the more depraved our culture gets. Where do our bodies come from? Well, there's a couple of theories out there. One is, if you've been in public school at all, you know the story, you know about Darwinism. Darwinism would say that everything evolved from nothing. So nothing somehow became something, and then that something created some things that are all way, way different. That there was a big bang that happened 13.77 billion years ago, estimating by the billions of years. And that everything is constructed from natural selection. The trouble is that with Darwinism and evolution, they believe, or Darwin would even say, that there really isn't any room for a soul because we're all physical beings. We're just physical beings. When we start, we're awake. When we die, we're out. There's nothing else. But I think inside of you and inside of me, we feel like there's something more. So one side is Darwinism that says we're all just kind of accidental mistakes that are just going to continue this process of accidental mistaking. But the other side would be creationism. That God Himself, the ruler of all things, the creator of all things, created this stuff that we see and created us. How is a man, I got asked this question, how is man, a person, any different than the other animals? Well, we're different if you look into Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So the Bible says that God created us. So it's interesting. God created man and created us with a body, with a spirit, and a soul and a spirit, right? But then He created us with a will, an intellect, and emotion. Do you realize that we can find through Scripture that all three of the Trinity have a will, intellect, and emotion? And so what makes us a person is that we are people with a will, intellect, and emotion. God the Father has a will, intellect, and emotion. God the Son has will, intellect, emotion. And even God the Spirit, Holy Spirit, has a will, intellect, emotion. So three persons and one God, which is a little crazy for me to think about because I'm one person in one body. But he's three persons, one God. It's another day. We were created in God's image. God made a special connection between us as humans and himself. He created that in us. Our bodies, everything that we are, was created from God. That's what I believe, because you and I both feel, we sense that there's a soul. You are not your neighbor. You are totally separate. You are not an animal. I am not, thankfully, I'm not my golden retriever, right? Sometimes it's like, why are you eating that again, right? Your breath stinks because you keep eating that. Stop eating that. But he just looks at me with a wagging his tail. I am not my dog because I have a will, I have intellect, and I have emotion. That is our personhood. That's what makes us who we are. See, our soul, again, as I mentioned, is immortal. Our souls, who we are, will never die. The fact that we can even consider, we can think about eternity. Have you ever, like, just laid in bed and thought about what is eternity going to be like? And anybody ever, like me, just kind of freaked out a little bit? Yeah? For me, it's been like, oh, this is too much for me. It's a lot. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says this, verse 11. God has made everything beautiful for its time, even the melting snow and the fake spring that we have. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. He's planted in us even an idea that there might be something more than just what we see on the day to day. That's eternity, and he's put that in us to be thinking, there's got to be something else. My dog does not worry about what's after today, after his moment. But we can. The fact that we can see, even have an idea of eternity makes us unique. You know, our souls make us who we are. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've had the opportunity as a pastor to be with people as they're dying. There's one man, his name is Dan. So when I went from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, our family moved up to Iron Mountain, Michigan, which is just over the border in the UP, north of Wisconsin. And soon after I got there, I met this man, his name is Dan. Dan had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's an awful disease. Mind is really sharp. The body starts to fail. You can't move well. He started out being able to walk with a walker, and within not a long time, he was not able to do that. He'd have to get pushed around, and he could barely talk, and I couldn't really understand him. This man was becoming more and more frail, but his mind was really sharp. I got a phone call that he was not doing well. He was going to the hospital. And this was early on a Saturday morning. So I made it to the hospital actually before the ambulance got there. I was sitting in the waiting room. Pretty soon, I was able to go and visit him in his hospital bed. He was hooked up to all the machines. His wife was just bawling. Renee was just bawling her eyes out. Discovered that he had a heart attack. He was alive in the bed, but wasn't doing well. Within a matter of a few hours, they did some procedures to see what his life was like, and they determined that really he's not going to make it out of this. She made the very difficult decision. Maybe some of you have had to make the decision to say, I'm not going to keep him on the ventilator. I'm going to let him go. She made that decision. She did not want to be in the room when they did it, but she asked if I wouldn't mind. I don't love that, but because I loved her and their family, I wanted to be there for them. So I was in the room. They unplugged the machine and could see the heart rate on the machine slowly fading until the heart rate had stopped. Moments later, you could see the body just is changing. And I discovered, this isn't my first time, but I discovered that his body is right there, but he wasn't there. You know what I mean? His soul, who he was, had left his body. His body was no longer who he was. I experienced that with my dad as well. There's something about the soul that's in us that is this immortal part of us that is super valuable. Sometimes there's things that get attached to us that we need to work through. So we have our bodies, we have our soul, but then we have this other thing called the spirit. There's a spirit with us. It's something that we have. It's the space where we connect with God. We know that God is spirit. We see this in John chapter 4, verse 24. It says this, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." So God is spirit. And I mentioned to you before that the soul is actually kind of backwards to the body. The body is born alive and eventually will die. The soul starts off dead and needs to come alive. And here's where I find that to be true. And there's a couple passages. We'll just do one. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. "You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins." Our sins, our sin nature makes us dead. Can you remember the first time you know that you did something wrong ever in your life? Can you? I don't know that I could, because I'm sure I lied to my parents before I could remember. I'm sure I did. You don't have to teach a kid to lie, right? There's the sinful nature within us that just naturally wants what we want versus what God wants. So we are born, our spirit is dead, yet it's made alive only in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies," right, "our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed day by day." Being made alive in Christ, and then they're being renewed. It's re-energizing. Just like when you eat the food, you're getting re-energized. Maybe you're getting sleepy. But the Spirit of God renews us day by day, giving us something in our spirit that keeps us going. So when we allow our soul, who we are, to submit to Jesus, it makes our dead spirit come alive. The submitted alive spirit within us can be used by God to transform our souls, who we are, and even we allow him to transform our bodies. Is this making sense? It's this other piece that was dead. When we say yes to Jesus, all of a sudden, boom, spirit's alive. And I can connect with God, my Father, who made me alive through his Holy Spirit. And now the Spirit of God is working in my life to work to change my soul, which is my will, my thoughts, my motivations. But also, he can change my body. He can work on me, who I am on the outside, because I don't have to just submit to the things of everyday life like I always have. Here's where it talks about that in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "And so, dear brothers and sisters," it's all of us who have said yes to Jesus, "I plead with you to give your bodies," all of our bodies, "to God because of all he's done for you." So there's the submission, right? Submitting our bodies to the will of God that he might work in us, okay? "Let them," our bodies, "be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." So what he's saying is that we can take the action of our bodies And if we use them to please the Lord, he sees that as an honorable sacrifice to him. It's an honorable sacrifice. Okay, Romans verse 2 now. We're going to move on to verse 2. It says this, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think." Verse 1, offer your bodies to be a full sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 2 says, let God transform you into a new way to think. That's our person. That's who we are. That's our soul. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Knowing God's good, pleasing, perfect will does not happen until we submit our thinking to him and we submit our bodies to him. It's an if-then. We want to know the will of God, but if we're not willing to submit ourselves to him, he may not tell us his will. All right, so now, I wanted to talk about that because I think it's really important for us to understand that there's like a trinity within us, right? Our body, our soul, and our spirit. And when we walk into this concept of soul care, there's some assumptions that happen. There's some assumptions that Rob Reamer, is making that I think we need to also understand. First one is that he's assuming that we have made the decision to follow Jesus. That our once dead spirits are now made alive in Christ. Our spirit is now alive and brand new, yet our souls are in the process of becoming more like Jesus. That's the assumption. Here's 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is where we base One Degree Church out of, this verse. And the Lord, who is spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. If you look at the ESV, it says, changed into his image from one degree of glory to another. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So here, our dead spirits are made alive, and we're in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. The assumption is that you've said yes to Jesus. But I ask you before we move on, if you are not saved, if you've not trusted in Jesus, if your spirit is still dead, I want to tell you that you can apply these principles that we're going to learn over these next weeks, but it's like only taking half of the necessary dose for the cure. Unless you're willing to receive the whole dose for the cure, deep soul change cannot happen. And so I'm going to ask you, have you said yes to Jesus? Have you submitted your life, your body, your soul to him? Is your spirit made brand new? If not, it's not too late. It's not too late. It has nothing to do with how much you give to the church. It has nothing to do with how good your language is. It has nothing to do about making sure you're all cleaned up enough to say, Jesus, will you accept me? It has everything to know that everything that has to do with Jesus doing the work for you to be made alive. Will you trust that? It's simply saying something like this, Jesus, I want you to make me brand new. I know my soul needs help, and you are my only hope. So Jesus, make my spirit new, make it alive so that you can affect my soul and my body. Amen. It's that simple, yet I promise you it's not that easy. It's that simple, but not that easy. Because I don't know about you, but when I am told I need to submit to something, I want a bucket, right? I don't want to lay down that easy. I want to resist. So it may be simple, but it's not easy. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, and honestly, if you're still unwilling, the rest of what we have to talk about really might not make much sense. I want you to trust in Jesus because he is for you. He's for you. If you truly want to be completely healthy in your whole soul, you must be willing to turn your life to Jesus. Your soul needs work that only Jesus can work on. So knowing that that's the assumption as we walk through this, maybe you've made the decision today, yeah, I'm going to trust in Jesus. I would love it if you were to tell me that today. Would you just share that with me today, if that's you? now we're going to dive into the book. And I've been looking into this, like, how much do I give? There's so much meat in this thing. If you've already started, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you'll find out. So today I'm going to reference up to page 11. It's not very far. It's not even beyond the introduction. But I think there's so much good stuff in here that you'll find it to be valuable. So here's something that Dr. Rob Reamer says. He says that we are broken. We're broken, body, soul, and spirit, and we need the healing touch of Jesus. Jesus is a healer, and he has come to heal us, body, soul, and spirit. In our lives, our bodies get damaged, right? Does anybody have scars to prove it? I've got scars. I've got one under my cheek. I got elbowed when I was playing basketball, and it split open playing out in my driveway. I've got a nice big gash on my shin that I could, that's another story. Maybe you've heard it before. I've used that as an illustration before. I've got a gash on my shin. I've got scars all over the place. You probably have scars as well. See, our bodies are broken, but our souls get damaged as well. Anyone have some, like, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, anybody have a deep hurt inside? Just a deep, it just hurts so bad. And you wish you had a scar, like your body, to be able to say, that's where the pain is, and I want to tell people about it. Maybe you've been mistreated or misunderstood. Maybe you've been abused or wronged. Maybe it's not something somebody's done to you, but maybe it's been done because of your own hand. Maybe you're living in regret, self-hatred, or self-harm. Our souls are broken as well. How do we handle this? How do we handle this? How can we possibly go through life with our souls broken? That's a great question. That's exactly why we're going through soul care. That's exactly why we're doing this. Our souls, I'm pretty certain that this is the case, okay? Our souls get damaged due to three different circumstances. Three different circumstances causes our souls to get damaged. Number one is something has been done to us. Person on person, it's been done to you. Second, something is we've done to ourselves. We've done some things that are really foolish. And I hurt deeply because I was pretty foolish. Third one, there's been something that's been done generations before us, but you're feeling it. It's on you. Your soul is affected because of what has happened generations before. This is why we need someone who can pierce between the soul and the spirit. The Bible says the Word of God is living and active, able to pierce between the soul and spirit. Between joint and marrow. We need the Spirit. We need Jesus, who is the healer, who heals all brokenness, to come into our lives and to heal what's broken in our soul. If you break a leg, you can go to the doctor. They can put it back together, and usually you're back to normal. Break a hip, right? Or need a hip replacement, whatever it is. You can go to the doctor. They can make your body better so you can improve through life. What do we do when our souls are broken? Who do we turn to when our souls are broken? Oftentimes, we shut our mouths. We hush about it because it's shameful. It's scary. I don't want anybody to know. I get it. Jesus wants to meet us right in that deep space. What good are we if we try to go through life with a damaged soul? The first thing we need to do is we really just need to grow up. We need to grow up. We need to mature. Dr. Rob Reamer says this, this is on page 7. Our immaturity always impairs our productivity. Our sinfulness detracts from our fruitfulness. This is really hard work. Soul work is hard work. And friends, I'm asking you, we're just getting started. Are you willing to do the hard work in order to grow in maturity with your soul? Are you willing to do the hard work? page 8, Rob says this. We have these unconfessed, unprocessed, undealt with issues. Think of your soul like a container. These things fill up the container of our souls, and unless we deal with them, we don't have any more capacity for God. See, the things that we hold in and choose not to work through keep us and keep our souls from maturing. So imagine that. He also has another illustration, which I'm sure he'll bring up. He talks about a suitcase. Sometimes we fill our suitcase or the container full of our everyday stuff, and sometimes it's the junk of our lives. It's just absolutely full. And then we say, Lord, hop on in. Hop in. He's like, there's no room. Your soul is filled with all this stuff, and there's no room for me. Sometimes we need to unpack that stuff that's in the suitcase or in the container. That way there's room and there's space for the Lord to fill. Maturity is hard work. Here again on page 8, Dr. Rob says this. It says, maturity is a choice we have to make and a price we have to pay. And all the talent in the world can't compensate for immaturity. It is the development of our character and the depth of our intimacy that impresses God. Salvation is free. Maturity comes at a cost. Immaturity is costly too. The difference with maturity is you pay up front, but with immaturity, you pay on the back end with interest. Here's the thing. You can choose not to mature within your soul, but if you choose not to, the consequences are much greater. We can choose not to, but the consequences are much greater. Soul care is an effort to encourage each of us to open our hearts up to the gentle, loving hand of God, giving Him permission to transform us into His likeness, making us brand new, making us more like Him, one degree of glory to another. Will you do it? Will we do it? Again, Dr. Rob says this. Page 11, he says, if we give Him access to our hearts, He will do an inner work of transformation. But God is a gentleman, and He will not force us to change. What He asks for is access. What He longs for is the pierced heart that gives Him room to go deep inside to do the work of transformation. Friends, will you do it? Will you submit your soul to the work of God that He might transform you into a new creation, your body and your soul? It's interesting because we do have some role in this. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, I've preached on this before. Here's what it says. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. When a preacher goes up and starts the sentence with afterward, and he's reading through scripture, I want to encourage you, don't just take the pastor's word for it. Go look at what happened beforehand. He returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Verse 2 says, inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with 5 covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" Here's the situation. Jesus is arriving in Jerusalem and he sees a bunch of people desiring to be healed. They want to be healed, but their superstition is that an angel is going to come by this pool, and when the angel stirs it, the first person to leap into that moving pool will be healed of their ailment. And so all of these people are waiting for the angel to stir the waters, and it's a race to be the fastest lame person there. And Jesus asks this one man, would you like to get well? I think it would be an obvious yes. Of course, Jesus, that's why I'm here. My friends, if you want to find out the rest of the story, go ahead and read it this week. But I'm telling you and I'm telling myself, Jesus is asking both of us, would you like your soul to get well? Obviously, yes. That's why we're here. But I ask you, will you do what it takes to get well? Jesus told that man, get up, take your mat, and walk. What if that man just laid there? Said, Jesus, I haven't walked in 38 years. I've always been here. Jesus, go find someone else. And he laid there. He had a role in his healing, which is to get up, take the mat, and go. We have a role in it as well. What if it's going to be hard? What if this is going to be really difficult? What if it's going to make you very uncomfortable? Do you want to do what it takes to get well? What if it means being very, very vulnerable? What if it means it might feel a bit humiliating? What if it means that you might actually be a little bit more lonely? Is it worth it to be well? Friends, I ask you this. Would you rather be comfortable and broken or challenged and healed? I pray that you want to be challenged and healed, because soul healing can only happen by the power of Jesus, and this is the start of our journey. Are you willing to step into this adventure? I hope so, because it is an adventure. Jesus wants us healed and whole and complete, and I believe that he's ready to do it. That's soul care. That's what it's all about. But let me pray for us. Father, first of all, Father, I pray for anybody here that maybe they've never said yes to Jesus. It's just as scary. It seems weird, and I get that. And Lord, maybe their soul is still dead. Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage, because it takes a lot of courage to say, I'm going to trust in Jesus to make my spirit brand new and alive. Lord, would you give them the courage to say yes to Jesus today? And for those of us, Father, who have said yes to Jesus, but we have these monkeys on our back and it just feels like we can't get them off. It's been there for so long. Lord, there's a human side to life, and there's also a deep spiritual side. That brokenness has caused us deep pain, and we don't know how to get through this. Lord, God, Jesus as our healer, would you come and begin that healing process in our lives? Help us, Lord, whether we're saved or unsaved, help us to submit to you, our bodies and our souls and our minds to you, that you might do this work of transformation inside of us, that it might transform outside of us as well, that we can live at peace with you and others. Begin your work in us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.